Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. In Los Angeles, California, on business for another day before flying to San Francisco for the remainder of the week to be there for Super Bowl week, Super Bowl 60 between the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. And it's apropos to start the show off with the owner of the New England Patriots, because essentially what has happened is that this man got hosed. You're talking about an owner in Robert Kraft, who has owned the New England Patriots for 32 years, who has had three different combinations of a coach and a quarterback take a team, take his team to the Super Bowl. Bill Parcells with Drew Bledsoe, Bill Belichick with Tom Brady, now Mike Vrabel with Drake May. Three different coaches, three different quarterbacks, three different combinations, all to a Super Bowl in his 32 years as an owner. In his 32 years as an owner, 11 times, this is the 11th time his team will be in the Super Bowl. An average of one out of every 3 years. Juxtapose that to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, who haven't been in the Super Bowl in 29 years, 30 years. 30 years. And Robert Kraft, his team, has been to a Super Bowl on average one every 3 years in his 32 years as a head coach, as an owner. And somehow, some way, this man, after 14 years on the ballot, still didn't receive enough votes from the 50-person selection committee to be included in the class of 2026, which will be announced Thursday night at the NFL Honors in San Francisco. It's the first time he was a Hall of Fame finalist, but he's not in. He's not in the Hall of Fame. And one can only surmise that the reason that happened is because Bill Belichick was left out of the Hall of Fame by the 50-person selection committee. And if you're going to take it from that, I don't want to hear about, oh, excuse me, the 50 selection committee, 50-person selection committee is made up of contributors, coaches, you know, senior players, or rather the finalists are made up amongst contributors, coaches, and senior players. And the 50-person selection committee has to pick from that. I don't want to hear that. Of course, that should be changed. Of course, coaches shouldn't be lumped in with players, and owners shouldn't be lumped in with coaches and all of this other stuff where you got to pick three and, you know, a player might be left out or a coach may be left out. I don't want to hear all of that. Change all of that. We all know that the Hall of Fame is really the Hall of Shame. It's an absolute utter embarrassment and a disgrace. But here's what I would say. It's clearly obvious that once Bill Belichick was denied entry into the Hall of Fame as a first balloter, that the same was going to happen to Robert Kraft, because if you're going to hold Deflategate and Spygates 1 and 2 against Bill Belichick, you're certainly going to hold it against his boss. To me, here's the big story. Is that y'all way of telling us that Tom Brady isn't going into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is that your way of saying that the seven-time champion, universally recognized as the GOAT in NFL history, isn't going to go into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer? You might as well burn the damn Hall of Fame building down. There's no reason for it to exist. Who cares? Nobody's going to care, because I'm here to tell you right now, there's no freaking way on earth that you could justify leaving Tom Brady out of the Hall of Fame. It would be so bad, I don't know if other people would accept an invitation into the Hall of Fame if Tom Brady was denied first ballot entry. They'd be like, why the hell would I go? Think about that class. Think about the class that Tom Brady is supposed to be in, and he doesn't get in. but somebody else is there in his place. How can you justify it? You're not going to feel worthy. This is some disgraceful stuff that we're thinking about here. But it is what it is. It's just an absolute disgrace. The Hall of Fame doesn't even mean anything right now. Because it is the Hall of Shame. It's that damn embarrassing. There's no excuse for this. No excuse whatsoever. The only reason I bring it up and I led with it is because if you denied Bill Belichick and you denied Robert Kraft, what are you going to do with Tom Brady? Tom Brady was there for Spygate 1. Tom Brady was there for Spygate 2. Tom Brady was there for Deflategate. What you going to do? What you going to do when Gronkowski is up for the Hall? What you going to do? What are you going to do? Randy Moss is in the Hall of Fame. Last time I checked, wasn't he a part of that 2017? That 2017 that went undefeated for the entire regular season through the postseason into the Super Bowl before the Giants knocked him off. Randy Moss was a part of that team. That was when Spygate 1 took place. He's in the Hall of Fame. What you going to do? Going to strip it from him? I'm just interested in seeing what's going to happen. See, to me, this is all about Tom Brady at this point. Because I want to see them try to justify keeping that brother out of the Hall of Fame. He is the standard. There is not an NFL player. This is how egregious you know all of this is. There is not an NFL player, past or present, that would deny that Tom Brady is the first ballot Hall of Famer. There isn't a coach alive that wouldn't say the same thing about Bill Belichick. There isn't an owner alive that wouldn't say the same thing about Robert Kraft. But here the Hall of Fame is. Be in the Hall of Shame. Being an absolute, utter embarrassment and a disgrace. I really don't think we should watch Hall of Fame ceremonies. After this, I don't really think, why bother? Why bother? Clearly, it's not built on merit. Bill Belichick won 3 Super Bowls before Spygate. He won 3 Super Bowls after. What you going to do? It's unbelievable. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Speaking of Robert Kraft, just to get back to him, 11th Super Bowl appearance now, 6 championships, purchased the New England Patriots in 1994 for $172 million. Okay? Reddy told you about the 3 different head coach quarterback tandems, right? Did you know he won 20 division titles in 32 years? Did you know that the Patriots have won 13 more regular season games and 13 more postseason games than any other NFL team in history? Did you know that? All-time winning this franchise. The true standard for America's team. I just can't believe this kind of stuff that I'm hearing. Patriots and Steelers. Patriots are top of the Steelers for the most Super Bowl titles in NFL history. Kraft has owned the team for all 6. Since he bought the franchise in 1994, New England has won 374 games, including a postseason, compared to 225 before his ownership. Belichick, hired in 2000, led the team to six Super Bowl wins and 3 additional appearances, compiling 333 combined regular season and postseason wins, second only to Don Shula of the Miami Dolphins. Now, Mr. Robert Kraft has been eligible for the Hall of Fame since 2013, reached finalist status for the first time this year in the contributor category, but wasn't selected. Voting for senior finalists is conducted separately from the modern era process, which included first-year eligible players Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Frank Gore, and Jason Witten. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald are in, by the way. We know they're getting in. You just look at this. It's unbelievable. It's an absolute disgrace. But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Let me transition to Roger Goodell, commissioner for the National Football League. We've already gotten into the Rooney Rule. We don't have to belabor that point. 10 openings, not one single black coach hired. One Lebanese and Robert Saleh, nobody else. But as John in Atlanta, the caller, called yesterday and articulated, hey, if Mike Tomlin, okay, or Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame were available, if Brian Flores didn't have that lawsuit, chances are two of the three would be a head coach in the National Football League right now. Notice the nepotism, though. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, his brother in Arizona now. John Harbaugh with the New York Giants, his brother with the Chargers. Okay? But it was earned, not given, so I'm not going to hate on that. Clint Kubiak. Remember Gary Kubiak was in the National Football League. Coach of Denver, let's not forget that. Now, Clint Kubiak is in there. Just saying. We understand this how it goes. You understand? Certain things don't happen for black folks. Let's just keep it a buck and call it what it is. That's right. I said it. I didn't stutter. But a lot of those coaches are qualified. They got the job. And the Rooney Rule process wasn't violated. Candidates were interviewed for the job. So I'm not going to hate on it. I'm not going to hate on it at all. And I'll move on from that subject by saying this. There's other issues to pay attention to as we look at Roger Goodell. It didn't escape me that Giants owner Steve Tisch appeared in the Epstein files. Roger Goodell said, I think we take one step at a time. Let's get the facts first. He was predictably terse when addressing recent revelations about the New York Giants co-owner and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, no doubt. Newly released documents show that Epstein scouted women for Tisch in 2013 and that Tisch offered Epstein two tickets to his suite that same year at his annual pre-Super Bowl press conference. Goodell was asked about the disclosures. He said, quote, last week, the release of some of Jeffrey Epstein's emails indicated repeated exchanges with Giants owner Steve Tisch. To what extent will the NFL look further into those exchanges? And could Steve Tisch be subject to discipline under the personal conduct policy? This is what a reporter asked Roger Goodell. His response, well, you may be getting ahead of yourself on the second part, but I would say that absolutely, we are going to look at all the facts. We're going to look at the context of those. We're going to try and understand that, and we'll look at how that falls under the policy. But I think we take one step at a time. Let's get the facts first. Here's what I will tell you. I read some of the report, particularly the part that involves Steve Tisch, and I would like to tell you this. It's certainly incriminating. There ain't no way around that. But I do think it was very smart for Tisch and the Giants to highlight that his involvement or his inquiring about involving himself with some of these ladies that Epstein knew, Steve Tisch and the Giants made it a point to say that they were adults, not children. Made it a point to say that. My response to that would be, it had better be. It had better be. Because if it wasn't, we're definitely going to expect the NFL to act with their conduct, personal conduct policy. Because we know they would if it were one of the players. And I trust that Roger Goodell absolutely will respond and he will act accordingly. I'm not casting aspersions on Tisch. I remember in the email with Epstein telling Tisch there was discomfort with the age gap between one of the females and Tisch on a part of the female. She was uncomfortable with the age gap or whatever, but it was all good. That's what the email said. As long as it was consenting adults. If it's consenting adults, he's out of the clear. It's just a bad look. If it wasn't a consenting adult, he's got different problems. He's got different problems. Make no mistake about it. But I think it would be irresponsible to go any further than that. Go any further than that. As a matter of fact, the quote that I was alluding to, according to the files released by the Department of Justice last Friday, Tisch exchanged emails with Epstein over many months in which he inquired about several women. In one exchange, Epstein told Tisch he, quote, did very well, end quote, apparently referring to a meeting with one of the women. Quote, she wants to go to the play. She is a little freaked by the age difference, but go slow. I will try to convince her not to return to Ukraine. Having her crying worked. The email continued. Tish replied, nice report. Funny comment on crying. Not a good look. We won't go any further than that. But we'll at least concede. Not a good look. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. We could get in to what we've been talking about with Roger Goodell as it pertained to 18-game schedule. He talked about that. He talked about some of the coaching openings. Obviously, we got a Super Bowl matchup. Which one are you looking forward to most? Because you got Sam Darnold going up against Drake May. The likelihood is Christian Gonzalez, as your corner, is going to be going up against Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, we got a lot of things to think about. We got the Patriots defense versus Seattle's offense, vice versa. Seattle's defense versus the Patriots offense. Got a lot of stuff to look into. No doubt about it. And we will continue to do so right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Staying with the NFL, I also wanted to bring up what's going on as it pertains to Brandon Bean, the general manager for the Buffalo Bills, who had some things to say. I don't know if we have that sound, guys, but please let me know if we do. Because Brandon Bean, the general manager and recent elevated to the presidency of football operations for the Buffalo Bills, on the same day McDermott was fired, by the way. Sean McDermott fired as the head coach. Well, Brandon Bean has been taking some heat because you have a lot of people who felt that he didn't deserve to be moved up. If McDermott's out of the door, why isn't he? And Bean told a reporter by the name of Tyler Dunn that he's aware of fan polls, because there's been polling by the fans, showing overwhelming opposition to firing Sean McDermott as head coach and replacing him with Joe Brady. But Bean doesn't listen to outside noise. There's a quote from Bean, F the outside. It's about the right selection for this team. And if we win, they'll love it. It's the same thing I said when I took Josh Allen. If I'm wrong, the moving company will be at my house. So I understand. And I'm not going to have regret of choosing someone to appease the outside if I thought it should have been something different. If I'm wrong, I'll effing take my job and effing go home. End quote. I would love for everyone to cheer every move, but it's not about winning the press conference. It's about winning games. That's also what Bean said. Sean McDermott was 73-27 in 6 years, in the last 6 years in Buffalo. Best record in the National Football League. Didn't get over the hump in two AFC Championship game appearances, both losses to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we saw Buffalo lose this year, losing to the Denver Broncos after beating the number 3-seeded Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. What Bean is missing is a couple of things. Number one, F the outside is Bills Mafia. You sure you want to go there? You sure you want to go there? You sure you want to irritate those folks? I mean, good luck with that, bro. Good luck with that. Let's get that out the way. Number two, he's a bit perturbed or whatever. This is not a situation, ladies and gentlemen, where you have people attacking his character. Okay? And he had to come to his defense because his wife was sensitive to it and other people. We understand that. Absolutely. Any of us should do that. But this is about his job. This is about work. Did you give Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills a good enough roster to really win the Super Bowl championship this year? That's his job. He didn't do that, but Sean McDermott was scapegoated. Plain and simple. Sean McDermott was scapegoated. And you know how you know? Because Brandon Bean is going to be out there this offseason working his magic trying to improve the Buffalo Bills roster. Well, if Sean McDermott had everything he needed, what you need to change anything for? Leave as is. Come back with the scream squad you had last year and watch what happened. You know better, because you know you didn't give him the pieces that he needed. And then reportedly, Sean McDermott went into the owner's office weeks before the season ended and said, we don't have a Super Bowl roster. So it stands to reason, just by connecting the dots, that Brandon Bean heard that and went in the CYA mode, covering his own ass and making sure that, guess what? I'm not going to be held accountable for Sean McDermott saying that we didn't have a good enough roster. That's implying it's me when in fact it isn't him. Now, we don't know if that's true or not. Let's be fair to Brandon Bean. But what we can say in response is, the day Sean McDermott was fired, you were promoted. And you're the one that gave him the roster to work with. How that happened? I mean, that's a legitimate question, ladies and gentlemen. We got to ask it. How the hell that happened? There's no way around that. There's no way around that. We just got to keep it a buck and be real with it. There is no way around that. That is the reality. And so when we look at a Brandon Bean and we're analyzing Keon Coleman and how he had DNPs and he was healthy scratches from games and how you couldn't make a move to get a Jalen Waddle from Miami because you holding on to a first round pick this April when instead of giving it up and you offered a first round pick in 2027 to 2026, you act like you had till tomorrow. Could it be that you didn't want to give McDermott all the weapons in the world because you didn't want him to succeed because you wanted him gone? I mean, again, I don't know the answer to these questions. I'm just saying connecting dots, it's fair to ask these questions. Because that's the question, that's the position that Brandon Bean put himself in by making the decisions that he made. There's no way around this stuff. We can slice it any way we want to. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. Gonna be all sensitive, get upset, got it. But the reality is that more should have been done to help Sean McDermott than was actually done. And it's one thing for you to retain your job when he gets fired. It's another thing entirely for you to get promoted. And then at the press conference with the owner speaking up for you, interrupting your answers to speak up for you. Clearly, he took sides. And he sided with you instead of McDermott because you're the one in his office most of the time while McDermott's coaching. It's the way it looks. And to sit up there and talk about a CEO, the head coach is a CEO's position. It ain't just about play calling. No, you're the CEO. You're the guy that's in charge. You're the guy making the decision. What the hell are you putting it on a coach for? Whether it was McDermott before or Brady now, it's your decision. You're the boss. Tell you, boy. Strange in the National Football League, no doubt. Strange. 888 Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Going to get into a little NBA when we get back as well. James Harden with the Clippers. Giannis Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee. LeBron with the Los Angeles Lakers. There's so much going on. There's so much to talk about. We're not going anywhere. We're here for it all. 888 Mad Dog 6. That's 888-623-3646. Back with your calls in a minute. You're listening live to Stephen A. Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.